Welcome to the Oak Hill Basketball to Jamaica podcast. This is Kevin Rimbarger coming live and direct to you from the Lanai, the CSI Ministries guest house. I have six guests with me tonight to talk about the first day of the build. I want you to state your name and tell me what grade you are going into.
Hi, I'm Connor Hussong, and I'll be a freshman.
I'm Mason Dubois, and I'm going to be a freshman.
I'm the second Mason, Mason McKinney. We're going to go with Randy Ray for the show, and I'll be a junior.
I am Kyle Taranchik, and I'm going to be a freshman.
I am Gabe Anderson, and I'll be a junior.
I'm Landry Osmond, and I'll be a freshman at IUK next fall.
Okay, so the primary reason, I guess physically, why we were brought down was to help build three houses for folks who have been displaced by natural disasters or other things. We've been told that CSI Ministries, over the course of how many years? Since 1988, have been building these homes and have built roughly 700 homes with a waiting list of about the same amount. They're 10 by 20 homes, and so CSI Ministries has the patent on the tiny house phenomenon going on down here in Jamaica. I want to start. I brought in six tonight because we wanted to talk about the build at each one of the three sites. They're a little bit unique in location and some of the things that they had to deal with today. And so basically, I just want one person from each group to start out by telling us how far you got today. We obviously went to the site. There was nothing there when we got there. After about 6 hours of work, where did group one, group two, and group three end up?
All right, so for group one, we got the foundation built, and we also got up one wall and cut a hole out for the door for that wall, and we also painted the walls the light blue that the owners wanted.
Group two kind of got to about the same point. We dug all the footers, then laid the framework, and we put the floors in, and then also we painted all the siding sunshine yellow, and we put up one wall.
For group three, we got all the foundation down and one back wall up. We also got our walls all painted heat wave orange.
So as you can tell, Jamaicans like their colors, their bright colors. What are the colors of the three houses going to be when you're done? Group one.
It's going to be like a light sky blue with a white trim.
Group two.
It's going to be the yellow of the sunshine and with pink trim.
For group three, we're going to have heat wave orange and a cream for the trim.
Okay, so give us a general idea. It's very difficult to explain if you're not here in Jamaica, you know, the conditions of the roads, the conditions of you know, location and all of those things. So try as best as you possibly can for each group. Talk to us about where your build is located, the time and effort it takes to get there, anything about just the general proximity of the actual house itself.
So like the drive over is about like 30 minutes. And so like for group one, we started out and we like got there, and our work site is like up on a hill. And like the hill is kind of like the dirt is super like loose and stuff. And so we go up, and like a minute in, somebody already slips and falls, and we get up to the top finally. And then we like see like there's like it's still up on the hill still, and like there's like glass and big rocks and everything in the way of where we got to build, and it's like the digging part is a little rough. Yeah.
So we're all friends here, right? Who fell? Like, call him out. Let's call him out.
Cameron Cabe. He fell. He's a little clumsy, but it's all right.
What can you tell me about the person that you're building for? Group one.
All right, so we're making a house for Teresa. she has a lot of children, like some our age, some younger. And, yeah, they're struggling with money and faith, but I hope that their minds get changed as we start building this house for them.
Can you count the number of generations that are in the same house? How many generations are there in that same house?
Yeah, there's three generations. Teresa's mother lives there along with her and all of her kids.
What were the so that's a 10 by 20 house. And how many kids would you say? Three? Four? Four, ranging from ages 15 to toddler, 9 months. Okay. What about the conditions in for group one? What were the conditions like today trying to build the foundations for that house?
So, like, up on the hill, there's, like, no shade or anything. And so it's super hot. But there's, like, a little – there was this one spot that had a nice breeze, and it was – it felt pretty good up on the hill.
Felt good for you. Some of us are – contemplating a heat stroke. When we're here at the CSI Ministries guest house, we're right off of the Caribbean, or Caribbean if you're not from Converse, and you can get a nice breeze every night. It feels really, really good. The amount of breeze that you got today down in it, Jamaica is very mountainous, correct? And the place that we were located was kind of in a valley. It wasn't kind of, it was in a valley. And so the wind and I guess relief from the heat was how much?
Yeah, there was nothing in there. It was zero. Like, yeah, it was bad.
Okay. Yeah, it was about as hot as you can get. All right, so group number two. Tell us a little bit about the location of your build. Same kind of thing. You know, the build number one was up on a hill. The family was there to help. Teresa was there to help most of the day. Relatives and friends were there to help most of the day. We had a few children show up. But group number two, I believe, had a little bit more of a different environment when it came to the actual build itself. So tell me a little bit about where it was located, how you got there, anything interesting in regards to the site itself.
Yeah, so our site was in the middle of a town, so we had a big crowd throughout the whole day, and we also had like 4 or 5 dogs going through our work site and chickens with their little chicks, and people were coming to help and like talking to us, and not even part of the family, just friends all around town. And yeah, there's just a ton of people. And so we got a lot of work done, but we were talking a lot and conversating with a lot of people.
Okay, so that's obviously part of it. We want you to not only build these houses, but with 15 people per job site, a lot of times there can be some standing around. You've got a collection of 30 to 40 people kind of watching you. You know, we're hoping that you build relationships, and we're hoping that you're able to have some discussions. Anybody that you can think of that might have stood out in regards to a discussion or, you know, a relationship that might have been built during the course of the day for group number two?
Yeah, so we talked to their three kids, Cynthia's three kids. She's the person we're building a house for. And they had a 14-year-old boy named Jermaine, and he just connected with us a lot and talked to us about his sports, and he was a lot of fun. He played cricket and football, or soccer as we call it back home. And then also she had an 18-year-old daughter named Calicia, and she was just fun and just talked to all of us and taught us some new words and helped us understand Jamaica better.
So you kind of started, and go ahead and kind of complete that. What can you tell us about the family that you're building for?
Yeah, so we're building for a single mother, I believe, and her name's Cynthia, and she has four kids. And they're, one's 18, one's 16, one's 14, and then the other one's 23. But only three of them were there. The 23-year-old wasn't. But they were just really cool, and they had a lot of family around with them and just helping us out.
What was unique about the actual building site itself? Did you have any issues with the build?
Well, where we were building, there was already part of a concrete foundation and some rocks. So we had to break it all apart and use our muscles. And our buddy Abe helped us out with that.
Use your muscles. Your muscles.
Yeah.
Okay. Gabe's muscles. Awesome.
Gabe and Abe's muscles.
Very, very nice. That was Mason Randall McKinney that came up with Gabe and Abe's muscles. So, so site number three, tell us a little bit about the location, a little bit about how you get there, all of those things, the weather conditions, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so for us, we kind of have a unique experience on the way down there. After we were on the same bus to, we dropped off group two, and then after that, and all the lumber and stuff was unloaded, we jumped on the work truck, and we actually took that down there. And we, I mean, it was a pretty, the ride was definitely not smooth being back there, along with the conditions of the roads here in Jamaica. But once we got there, we our where we worked was in a pretty nice area because there was a bunch of trees around and it wasn't near many houses. So there was only a couple people that came. So we were pretty private and we got to know the families there.
So there wasn't much interaction aside from the family that you were building with. Is that right? It's pretty secluded.
Yeah, it was pretty secluded. There was only one or two people that came throughout the day.
It's kind of interesting that all three of these sites are vastly different, and they're only about a mile or two away from each other. We had a couple of kids from our building site, and then when I say kids, we're talking 4 or 5 years old, who walked from our building site to site number two. Okay, so tell me a little bit about the family that you're building for.
So we're building for a single mother as well, and she has, I believe, three kids. And their names are Brianna, Shakira, and Shaquila. The Shakira and Brianna were very outgoing and were easy to talk to and love to get to know each and one of us. They spent the whole day trying to learn all of our names so that they can talk to us tomorrow. Shaquila is still not warmed up to us, but we're hoping that we can kind of break her out of her shell. Our single mother, she goes by Sista, so it was kind of fun to call her that. She also lives with her brother and a couple of her aunts as well.
So Sista, like Sista.
Yes.
Okay. Any relationships that you saw or witnessed over there, or maybe even one that you had over the course of the day for group number three?
Yeah, so the older girls wanted to connect to our whole group and talk to us any chance they could. They sat on the work truck by the water the whole time. And then Mr. Sugar, he talked to them a lot about school and activities they do and stuff we do here that he does in his class, trying to, you know, maybe pick up some stuff. But he had a fun time interacting with them, and they helped us paint a little bit.
Did he try to talk to them about the Dodgers or get him hooked on Circus Peanuts?
No, he did not.
Outstanding. All right. So, well, first off, tell me how many holes for footers did you have to dig today?
Anyone? 15.
15 that were roughly
16 inches.
Say that again.
16 inches.
16 inches deep. All right. So kind of unusual in the way that they did that. Was anybody a part of the digging process and the concrete and all of that stuff? What's unusual about the digging and the concrete as compared to what you might see here in the United States for any of the dads who are listening and into the whole architecture and carpentry stuff?
All right, so when you put the like concrete in the ground, like you don't need to use water with it because it rains so much. So they just put the like dry, grainy concrete in the ground and hopefully the water gets to it.
All right, good. All right, let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about the devotion we had this morning. The devotion this morning was surrounded by the idea of setting an example. And most of it had to do with 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. which says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." All right, and those five things that Paul talks about, we're going to talk a little bit about here at the end. So, you know, going through the basketball program and probably the football program as well, Coach Osmond, I'm sure, talks about it, Coach Edwards, all of the coaches at Oak Hill are very mindful of the idea that, that little eyes are watching you all the time and that you are now a person who sets an example for those little eyes, okay? So maybe this is what is going on, or maybe it's just something that you're hoping is going on. When young kids are watching you, what are you hoping they'll see?
So a couple years ago when the basketball team made their state run, I think like after they like won like the sectionals or something, and you could go out and get pictures with the players. It was cool. You know, all the players want to get pictures. All the kids want to get pictures with the players, and they really looked up to him at that time. So it's kind of cool for me to now be in their shoes, and I'm hoping that they can look and not just see, you know, just an athlete, but also someone that wants to make a change.
Yeah, like I hope kids, like when they watch us play, they see players that always have smiles on their faces and don't argue, don't complain, just are always in a good mood, and yeah, have fun.
So like what I think is like kids need to see like how there's certain roles that everybody plays, and like there's always the leaders, and then there's always like everybody has a specific job for the team, and that they don't need to think that like the team is just them to score, and it's always there's always that extra pass, and I just think that kids need to see like the leadership roles.
I hope this example that we set is that just when kids see us, they see us as hardworking, and kind of like Randy Ray was saying, that that just everybody plays their part and does their job, and then if all that comes together, then it can be something special.
I hope the younger kids see us as Christ-like athletes and see us as helping each other up and encouraging and not trash-talking or anything like that, and just us being a good example of having good sportsmanship and just being good teammates and players.
So, personally, going through my senior year and playing three sports, I wasn't able to receive all that much success team-wise through my three sports, but I hope as people watched, even though we may not have been winning games, they noticed our play and how we play from the very beginning and play all the way through that horn or that last whistle or whatever it may be.
Okay, so if you feel like you can't, that the prior answer is hard for you to answer this next one, I understand. Some of you talked about, you know, what you hope that people will see in you, like being a, you know, a team, you know, or roles on a team or stuff like that. Specifically, what can you do to improve in the area of setting a good example, particularly for people young and old? You know, you're all in a position through your athletics at Oak Hill, and athletics is very important to the community in Oak Hill. How can you specifically work to improve to become a better example for everybody who watches you or comes into contact with you?
So one thing that we can do is just not just kind of be like self-centered, but also, you know, if you see the kids in the stands, you know, cheering for you, just to like kind of be aware of that and not, and kind of, you know, like if you see them at the game, talk to them, not just worry about yourself. And then also just spend more time like reading the Bible and stuff so some of those actions talked about can reflect.
So for me, I think like on the basketball court, my body language needs to change. I like to like dance in like a mocking way when there's a bad call. Like, I know I didn't foul him, but I think I just need to settle down and just let it happen and not, like, react as much.
I think one way that I could set a better example is maybe like stepping out and talking to more people, like to even maybe to those that I'm setting the example to. That way I can just connect with them more and it can be better overall.
Well, in our basketball program, we kind of have an unwritten rule that if a teammate is on the ground, everybody has to hustle over and help them up. And I hope that we can just pass that on because I think that's a cool thing.
Okay, I don't really, again, this is not one where everybody needs to answer, but I've got two questions for you. You know, God asks us not only to be leaders, but to be followers, okay? So, leading by example, what does that mean to you, and how are you leading?
Yeah, so for me, I'll be a freshman, and right now I'm looking. I'm still trying to figure this out, the high school basketball. So right now I'm just trying to, you know, look at how the upperclassmen and people who have had experience, how they do it and how to do it the right way.
Leading by example. I think for – as someone who's gone through 4 years of Oak Hill Athletics already, I think the best way to lead by example is just using your platform and the position that you are in. Everyone's watching you at all times, whether you're on the court or the field, in the pool, wherever you may be. Everyone's always got their eyes on you of all ages. And you want to be that example that parents want to use you as an example to their kids and to their kids who in the future may not get to watch you personally, but they can always use you for time to come.
Okay, so I'm not trying to get you in trouble with your mom and dad, okay, particularly your moms. All right, so you don't have to answer in specifics, and I hope that when you get home she doesn't say, well, what did you mean about purity, or what do you mean about your speech? What's wrong with your mouth, Mason? All right, I don't want to have that kind of conversation started. So, Paul talks about speech, life, love, faith, and purity. Okay, speech, life, love, faith, and purity. What do you see right now as your weakness, and what are you doing to improve that? What are you going to try to do, or what are you trying to do to improve in those areas?
So I'm going to start out with, I got two. I'm going to start out with faith. So I'm kind of quiet with my faith. I don't like to like share it a lot, but I kind of keep to myself. And I think the missions trip is really helping me, because like in our groups today, I kind of actually talked about it, and I learned some stuff from Steve Shugart and Connor. Okay. And then speech-wise, I don't speak the best sometimes, and I think I need to change that, because I know I got people watching me, and I think I need to change that a little bit.
I think one of my weaknesses is speech, as in not being open about my faith, like not saying I'm a Christian and trying to spread the word to everybody I can, and hopping on every opportunity. And also, I need to work on love, as being happy for others when they get success, even though if they're on the team above me or something, I just still need to be happy for them and not be sad that I didn't get the success that they did.
For me, I know I struggle a little bit with purity, and kind of like Mason said, maybe some of the words I use should not ever be used, and where there's some vocabulary that are more appropriate and not as harsh, because life can be frustrating and you can have some slip-ups. And I think a whole setting the example thing as people I looked up to, when I see them use harsh words or inappropriate words, it's kind of an eye-opener for me to see that, what if I do that, it's not the most pleasant thing, and definitely not the most attractive thing, and makes me want to push away from that and use words that are more appropriate as well.
All right, so yeah, I got to work on speech too. That's one of my weaknesses, because a lot of times, like, I'm not a very good communicator, and I, like, stay to myself and, like, just don't reach out. So I want to, like, try to help and, like, help myself and, like, work on talking to others more and just communicating better, being a better leader.
Like some other people, I would probably say speech as well. And not necessarily that I say, like, bad things, but more of, like, meaning all of what I say and, like, choosing my words wisely.
For me, I feel like speech is one of my weaknesses because I'm kind of quiet about my faith too. I won't deny it, but I'm not one to start conversations about faith and, you know, just being super open about it. So I feel like speech is one of the things I can improve on.
All right. Anything else that we left out? Anything that you can think of other than Mason, who wants to give shout outs to all of his friends, family, and anybody else?
Tempted.
All right. So with that being said, really quickly, you have about 15 seconds. We're getting it to the max of where our podcast is. All right. There's six of you. So very, very quickly, 30 seconds, 15, 30 seconds or less. What are you going to do this week, or what have you done this week specifically to challenge your comfort zone?
So for me, like I said, my speech is something I feel like I need to work on. And when we do the presentations to the family, I volunteer pretty quickly to read the Bible and explain, you know, how to influence the people.
Yeah, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone just by working, because usually I don't work a whole lot like I am this week. So I'm just stepping out, working a lot more than I usually do.
I stepped out of my comfort zone by talking to the families and getting to know them when I don't really know them. I would say I've kind of stepped out of my comfort zone by kind of maybe not hanging out with my friends all the time and hanging out with other people that I don't know as well.
I am stepping out of my comfort zone by meeting new people and making new friends and not being shy or staying back.
I stepped out of my comfort zone by volunteering to be the MC for our house donation service and just basically giving the rundown throughout the whole service.
Looking forward to that service on Thursday and a rundown of what that service was all about. So today was a build day, first day. Got the footers and foundations taken care of. We've got the floor on. We've got one wall on, not supported, but it is up there. It's anchored down a little bit. And tomorrow is the second of a three-day build. So we thank Connor Hussong, Mason Dubois, Mason Randall McKinney, Kyle Taranchik, Gabe Anderson, and Landry Osman for their summary and their contributions to this podcast on day number one. So we'll look forward to talking to you again on episode number four, day number two of the build. Yeah.